Father, we give you honor, we give you glory, we give you praise for another day's journey. We pray, Father, that you will speak to us on this morning, Lord. We thank you for sparing us another Sunday, Lord, to be able to come together and to worship you. Father, we ask that you would just have your way in this place on today. It's in Jesus' name that we ask this. Amen. Giving all honor and praise to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and to our great pastor here, Pastor Minor, to my brothers in the ministry, God bless you all, to our deacons, our trustees, and our mothers and my brothers and sisters, God bless you all. I was supposed to be doing the announcement for our pastor's anniversary here. Maybe Joy, you should have sang that song. Lord Jesus, all my life. Talk about them tigers or them lions or something. For our pastor's anniversary here, we've been blessed with a great man of God here, someone I've known, I almost would say all my Christian life. Being here in Macedonia, we basically almost about the same age, and we come up in this ministry here in Macedonia. There was a good foundation that was laid here. We built upon this foundation here, and those that have been around for a while know what I'm talking about under the leadership of Pastor Charles Twyman. He invested a lot in this ministry here, and Reverend Minor and myself and many others are the fruit of his labor.
Amen. Amen.
We've been given an opportunity here to serve God in capacities that we've never thought or even dreamed of. And I know, just saying this about Reverend Minor, I know he probably never thought that he would be pastor at Macedonia Baptist Church. The memories, that's why it's kind of hard, and for some reason, I don't understand why this Sunday, this particular Sunday, is so hard for me, because when I eulogized my mom, that was probably about the hardest thing that I thought I would ever do. I didn't even want to do it, but the Lord put it on my heart and let me know after talking to Reverend Twyman and Reverend Minor about them doing it, the Lord let me know, no, you're going to do it. So for some reason, this is just standing here. It just seems like it's a load, it's a weight. But this is what he's called me to do.
Amen. Walk in, sir. Walk in.
Jeremiah 3:15. And I will give you shepherds after my own heart, who will guide you in knowledge and understanding. That was a scripture reference. And about our all must give as they are able, and about our giving, according to the ministry given to them by the Lord your God. This is from Deuteronomy 16:17. I want to read something else or add to this. In Hebrews 13:17. About this pastor here. Have confidence, this is coming from the NIV version. Have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority, because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Do this so that their work will be a joy and not a burden, for that will be of no benefit to you or to us. We ought to submit ourselves unto the leadership here that the Lord has placed here, where if you're not a member of Macedonia, wherever you are, then submit to the leadership. Because if the Lord led you there, evidently then you're supposed to be there. And there's only one head in the church, one under shepherd. Right now it's Pastor Terry Minor. And we give glory and honor to God for sending us a pastor after his own heart. And I just want to say this about Pastor Minor. You know, down through the years, I just remember, I know he said he's been through a lot, but I just remember him just being a good young man. And I thank God for his mother. I remember his mom was one praying woman. Pastor Twyman used to say, and she used to get up and shout and I mean just get full because she'd been through so much. And I remember him saying about Sister Brown that a lot of people want those good sounding testimonies, but nobody wants to go through the test. It's going to cost you something.
Amen.
And she paid that price for that testimony. She encouraged our souls. For those that are wondering, what is this all about? Why am I up here? Genesis 1 and 1. You can turn there. I want to thank God for my wife. I didn't forget you, dear. My wife, my brother, my sister, brother-in-law, and my son, our son, and his new wife. My son, over 40 years old, just now getting married. And that's a good thing. And he come up under Macedonia's ministry here also under Pastor Twyman. And I just want to say this about, his name is Anthony Wayne Hoskins Jr. And when we left here in 94, J.R. was a little fella, and they had the little peewee basketball team or something. And J.R. was a little fella. We got up to Flint, Michigan, and he came back in a few years. That boy had grown so tall. And I started to tell my wife at the time, hold on now. Say, hold on, ain't nobody in my family that tall. And but they say it was something in the water. But all our kids have grown, and we have two daughters in there in Arkansas right now. But I wanted to say this about JR, our daughter Shanice, and Shantae is the oldest. To make this story short, we had been trying to have children. My first son was born in 75. We had to bury him in 3 months. I think in 76 we had another son. We had to bury him. He was premature at 6 months. In 77, 78 I believe it was, we had a daughter. She was 5 months old. We had to bury her. And so the doctors had told my wife, quit trying to have babies, you know. We had gone through the McDonald's sutures and all the other, everything to try to hold a child to term, but it wasn't working. So we decided to adopt, I believe it was in 80. And that was our oldest daughter, Shantae. She's almost 50, I believe it is. But we had given our lives to the Lord and said, we're going to try and trust God for another child. That's where that big fella come from. He's one of them. And his sister, Shanice, is the other one. Amen. Only problem we had with them is not having enough food. But they've been a blessing. And our oldest daughter, Shantae, amazing. Started out in this ministry, and they're both in Arkansas now, and I thank God for them. My wife, Felicia, we grew up together in the Chicago Projects, and that's another whole story.
Amen.
We've been knowing each other since we were children, and we were supposed to have gotten married, but I moved to Detroit and ran into my kids' mother. But after almost 50 years, the Lord brought us back together. And I just thank God for that. So that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Amen. Genesis 1 and 1. Genesis 1 and 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. We want to title this God's Faithful Relationship. God's Faithful Relationship. This morning in Sunday school, Brother Mike Moore and everybody that was down there just about, and especially those that commented, all had something to say about this sermon this morning. Amen. I told them, I said, I started to just turn the mic on, and when I got up here, just push play, because they all talked about that, what I was going to say, but I'm going to omit a whole lot, so you all going to get out of here a little early, hopefully. But there was something that Pastor Minor had mentioned when I found out that I was going to be preaching. And I was listening to his devotion on Friday morning on the 17th of May, about 6:30 in the morning. And he talked about God's faithfulness. That's basically what his song Joy had sang this morning by C.C. Winans, The Goodness of God. And if you ever get a chance, listen to that song. Listen to the words of it. All our lives, God has been faithful. All of our lives. You know, through the ups and through the downs, he's still been faithful. Let me just say this here, what Pastor Minor, when I heard him, I had to back it up and get a pen and a piece of paper. And it says, God's faithfulness, God is reliable. Take God at his word and keep it and honor it. God is consistent. And he would never let us down. God is trustworthy and we can depend on him. And he will prove himself to us who he is. God's faithfulness is not depending on our faithfulness. That's a big one. He's faithful when we're not. Even when we're not faithful, God is always true and God's word is true. We already read that in the beginning, God, we could have stopped right there and just closed up, because it's all about faith. And God set the standard for faithfulness. He's faithful. That's just one of his attributes, his characteristics. He's faithful regardless of what man does. God knows we have cheating hearts. That was another thing he had mentioned, because we put other things, other people before him. But God is still faithful. Hopes in that we will repent. This is what God hopes for. And it's the change that goes on the inside, that it may manifest itself on the outside. I believe, I don't know if it was in Sunday school or it was said out here that, you know, we can come in and dress up and everything and look like we're Christians, but it was Brother Mike Moore, that's what he said, Reverend Howard had asked a question about this, about our evangelism efforts. There are a lot of people doing some good things, and God bless them, and God bless us. But if we have the wrong motives, it's all for naught. Because there's some good, well-meaning people that's not going to make it in. That's right. But you got to have the right motives, because God is going to judge everything. You know, even though we've given our lives to the Lord, we won't be condemned to hell, those that know him and accepted Jesus Christ. But we're still going to be judged on our works, what we have done, and the motives behind it. Because sometimes we can dress it all up and go out and do this and do that, but our motives are wrong, because we want the glory and not God. God desires and he wished that no man perish, but all come to repentance. And don't take it for granted. And don't take advantage of God's faithfulness, his mercy, and his righteousness. Now, these were just some of the points that I had wrote down that Pastor was talking about. And I tell you, if you can ever get a chance at 6:30 in the morning, I believe it is, on Wednesday and Friday mornings on Facebook, you can catch a little 15-minute devotional from our pastor there. But what I want to do is just address something in the Bible here and hopefully move on out the way, because my prayer is to be brief and to the point and move out the way. This is what the Lord put on my heart. Genesis, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And I just jumped up with a question, Lord, why? Why did you do that? Because we realize God is omnipotent. You know, he has all power. He's also omniscient. He knows everything. And God is omnipresent. He's everywhere. He don't need us. So I began to read even further and still had that question, Lord, why? Why, Lord? Let me just read what I read. Everybody knows that the best commentary is the Bible itself. The best commentary for the Bible is the Bible. It's consistent throughout. When I began to read on down, and those 5 days in which God created, at the end it says, and it was good. It was good. And it was good. And then on the sixth day, the Lord, he had created man, and he looked back and he said, it was very good. The Lord showed me something that, you know, it was all about a relationship.
That's right.
It was about a relationship. God didn't need us. He created a garden, and he put man in it because that garden needed to be tilled. And I pray that this is what the Lord showed me, because when I thought about it, God created the heavens and the earth, but he also created a garden. But he said, I don't have a man in there to till it, to take care of it. And he created man in his own image. And he put man to work in that garden. And I thought about that. I say, God, did you create us just to work and to make your garden look good? God didn't need us. But he created us in his image. And he did it for a purpose and a reason, but he also knew who we were going to be. He knew exactly what we were going to do. In the second chapter of Genesis, in verse 9, it says, and out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden.
Yes, sir.
And the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So God basically said, you know, I'm going to create all this and you can have full range of everything except for the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Down in verse 16 it says, and the Lord God commanded man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. After he created all this, he gave man one commandment. You can eat of anything in here, and everything just looks good, but don't eat of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But what did we do? I mean, you know, we're going to blame Adam and Eve. What did they do? But we're recipients of it. And the Lord God in verse 8 said, and the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone, and I will make him a helpmeet for him. It was about a relationship. And we all know the story about what happened. Satan came into the picture. And he deceived Eve. And they both ate. And one thing I remember Reverend Twyman saying, and something I hadn't even noticed till he had mentioned this, Adam was right there, standing right there with Eve when she partook of that fruit. The command not to do What God didn't want them to do was to the man. And I'm sure Adam shared that with Eve, but she was deceived by the devil. But Adam was right there, and they both disobeyed the Lord, and they were kicked out of that garden. And we all know the story about what happened and everything else. Man began to populate and multiply on the face of the earth. But my point is, and this is where we're going to close, there was a man that at the end of all that, in chapter 6, in verse 6, let me pick this up here. I got to get new glasses. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart. Now, this was after Adam and Eve were gone off the picture here, but man was so evil and so corrupt that he said that it just hurt his heart that he had done this. And it said that it repented him. Not that he had any sins to repent of like us, like we do, but he was sorry that he had even made man. And verse 7 says, And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air. And I'm going to just go on down to verse 8. This is the point. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah, not his son, not his wife, not his daughter-in-laws, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Out of all God had created and all those people there, he couldn't find but one righteous man. And that made a difference because it shows something of God's compassion and his mercy toward his creation, towards us. As a matter of fact, that shows a little glimpse of redemption and reconciliation. God loves us so much that he didn't want to destroy all of them, but he found one man. And that gives me back to this other point that I had mentioned at my mom's service there, and I couldn't remember those that were here. I was trying to remember a quote from D.L. Moody. It says that you never know what God can do in and through a man that's completely surrendered to him. Now, I know that's my version of it, but that's the gist of it. One person made a difference. God, he destroyed everything. And another point that was brought up in Sunday school today, that there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. All that we know here is going to pass away. But there will be a new heaven and a new earth. But are you going to be a part of it? That's the question. Because God still wants a relationship with us. He still wants that. And if we look at it, he told us throughout the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, it was about reconciling us back to himself, having a relationship with him. But there's only one way that we can do that, and that's through his son, Jesus Christ. That's the only way. That's the only way that we can get back into a right relationship with him. I mean, there's a lot more in here, and I'm trying my best to just stick to the point here. God wants a relationship with us. He loves us just that much. He is so merciful and so kind, and that's why that song, when I heard it, you know, all my life you've been faithful. All my life. So good. Even when I didn't even know him, he was still good, and he's still good to all of us. You can think back in your life just how much God has been good. And how do you say, Lord, thank you? By being obedient unto him, by giving your life to him, by trusting him, because we all have a purpose in this life. And that relationship comes by us obeying God's word. You don't have to know Genesis to Revelation. But what you need to know is, Lord, what do you want from me? And he wants our obedience to him, to worship him, to praise him. And I tell you one thing, If you ever hear anybody say that, oh, it's boring serving God, they don't know him.
Yeah, that's right. You're right about
it. It is so much to do when you find out what you're here for.
Yeah.
I don't care what you've been through. Yeah. God don't care what you've been through, but he can use where you are right now.
Yeah.
I don't care how old you are, how young you are, God can still use you. He can still use you.
Yeah.
Lord Jesus, there is somebody here that needs to know him and wants to know him. And I'm going to just say this and I'm going to get out the way then. Lord, you just recognize that you're lost, because he told us in his word that all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. None of us have done everything right and we probably never will do everything right. But because of his mercy and his grace, he said, I mentioned again this morning about, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in and supper. I have a relationship with him. But it's up to us. We have to open up that door and say, Lord, I believe that your son, Jesus Christ, died on Calvary's cross for my sins, was buried and rose again on that third day. Lord, I know I'm lost and I want to be saved, Lord. Lord, I want to change life, Lord. I don't want to be fronting and thinking I'm something and I'm not, Lord. I want you to make me old, Lord. I want you to make me over, Father. I want you to fill me with your Holy Spirit, Lord. Use me where I am now, Lord. I have not done everything that you asked me to do. Lord, I know that I got some shortcomings, but he said, I still love you, son. Daughter, just come to me. Just come to me. That's all he wants. That's all he wants. That's all he wants is us. And all we have to do is just say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I believe you, Lord. God's faithful relationship is what he wants from all of us. Amen.
Please stand to your feet. The door to the church is open. If you want that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, if you don't know him, if you're not sure whether or not you're in Christ Jesus, you need to come. This is not about joining a church. This is about coming into a relationship with God through his son, Jesus Christ. God has prescribed a way, and we must come by that way. We cannot come in our own way. God is faithful. And God wants to bring us into a home. It's a home that he prepared himself for us. Will you come? Is there one? Amen, amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Praise God for the messenger. We thank and praise God for the message. And as he was preaching, I was sitting there thinking about it, you know. And God showed forth his faithfulness in creation to us. Did you not know that God located earth in the only place in the universe where we can inhabit this earth? If we were any closer to the sun, we'd burn up. If we were any further from the sun, we'd freeze to death. There wouldn't be oxygen. There would not be water. He faithfully made this a home for us. It's his faithfulness. And I thank God for his faithfulness. Here's the other thing, and I thank God that his faithfulness is not predicated on my faithfulness. Because I know I'm not always faithful, and you, listen, you might as well raise your hand as well. We're not always faithful. There's too many empty pews in there that for us to all be faithful, you know what I mean? Amen, amen, amen. We thank and praise God for it. We're going to ask that you stand. We're going to take an offering for this preacher. We're going to ask that you'll stand to your feet, that you'll get your gift in your hand, that you'll bring it around, and that you'll be a blessing to this preacher, this man of God. Mm-hmm. Also, those who are on Givelify, we have an area on Givelify where you can give to the love offering, and that love offering will go to the preacher. Amen, amen. But may the Lord bless you as you give.
Chance to give.
Blessings and honor and glory, they all belong to you. Blessings and honor and glory, they all belong to you. Blessings and honor and glory, they all belong to you.
Thank you for this day. Thank you for Macedonia Baptist Church. Thank you for the preacher that preached your word, Lord Jesus. I pray that everyone who gave that you bless them, Lord. Bless this offering, that the purpose that it was taken up for. Bless in a mighty way. In your darling son Jesus' name, let us all say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And amen.
I'd like to say thank you all for everything. And one announcement I meant to omit it was you all keep a family member, Esther Houston, which she's here with us right now. She lost her grandson yesterday. And it was surprising that she wanted to still come out and support us here. Amen. Esther, if you don't mind raising your hand. Yeah, amen. Just keep her in prayer then. That's, those who have suffered loss know the pain, you know, but if you all would just pray for them. And we want to ask if you all would stand in. We're getting ready to close out now. There was a young lady in Arkansas when we were there, name of Winona Fuller. She was my timekeeper. When I got up to preach, she would say, "Rem Hoskin." My wife says she's going to take that over now, you know. Say, "You're a little long-winded, brother." You know, but she's a good sister, but she's with the Lord right now, and I'm going to talk to her. I'm going to holler at her when I see her. But she was a blessing to us too then. Father, we thank and we praise you for what you've done, and I pray, Lord, that your word would be water to a seed or a seed that is planted, Father. We pray, Lord, that you would give the increase for your glory. And we look forward to one day seeing you face to face, Father. And we remember all those who have gone on before us. And Father, as we celebrate this Memorial Day weekend, we thank God for those who paid the ultimate price for our freedom, Lord, and those who have served and fought for this country, Father, and we are the recipients of their service. We thank you for them, Father, and for their family members, and we ask right now that you would just bless us to be a blessing, Father. This is our prayer, that your will be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Now may the grace of God and the love of Jesus and the sweet communion of his Holy Spirit, may it now rest, rule, and abide with us now, henceforth, and forevermore. Let us all say amen, amen, amen.